From the Sky News Centre at 7, the commander of NATO forces in Afghanistan, General Petraeus, says he's deeply saddened by the death of a kidnapped British aid worker in Afghanistan. It had been reported that Linda Norgrove was killed by her captors, but there are now suggestions she died when a grenade was thrown during a raid by American troops. Following a review, the PMs confirmed she could have been killed during that rescue attempt.
General Petraeus has since told me that review has revealed evidence to indicate that Linda may not have died at the hands of her captors. That evidence suggests that Linda could have died as a result of a grenade detonated by the task force during the assault.
An inquest has heard the 7-7 suicide bombers might have planned to set off their devices at busier tube stations. A note found at King's Cross inside a passport belonging to one of the attackers lists timings on different days for getting to Paddington, Westminster and Bond Street stations. The final stage of the operation to bring 33 miners trapped underground in Chile back to the surface will begin at 4 o'clock on Wednesday morning UK time. They've been stuck there since August the 5th. George Michael's been released from prison. He's thanked everyone who helped him get through his 4 weeks behind bars for drug driving. The Queen has officially named a new ocean liner 72 years after watching her mother launch the first Queen Elizabeth. The naming at a ceremony in Southampton was completed as white wine rather than champagne was smashed against the bow of the ship. She has 16 decks, a shopping arcade and an 832-seat theatre. Hundreds of guests lined the quayside as Her Majesty spoke the familiar vessel launching words.
I name this ship Queen Elizabeth. May God bless her and all who sail in her.
Double Olympic sailing champion Sarah Gosling has given birth to a boy. Sarah, one of the famed three blondes in a boat, gave birth to Leo Archie Gosling on Friday. That's the latest. I'm Richard Suchet.
Bristol Community FM 93.2.
So, what exactly did John Peel do for you? Well, I'll be putting that very same question to fellow broadcasters, local music promoters and the Bristol public between 10 and 12 noon on Monday, October the 11th. And filling those awkward silences in between, we'll be playing the finest tunes from bands and artists that Peel championed during four decades on the air. So join me, Andrew Parsonage, plus a dazzling array of guests, of course, for John Peel Changed My Life. BCFM's John Peel Day, Monday, October the 11th, 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. Keeping it real, keeping it Peel.
Bristol Community FM 93.2.
I could be happy. Claire Grogan there, and Altered Images from 1980. Several sessions for John, and I remember John doing a very special introduction for them on the Top of the Pops program in the 80s. And Claire Grogan there from Altered Images, another one of John's favourite bands. Okay, we're going to keep things moving along. You're listening to BCFM. This is our special John Peel Day, commemorating John Peel's contribution to British music and British radio. I'm going back through John Peel's sessions from 2004, back through the 90s, and we're into the 80s at the moment. We've got a couple more tracks from the 80s, and another one of the really strangest bands that John used to play was Sex Gang Children with Andy Sex Gang, and there's quite a resurgence now and quite a lot of interest in the Sex Gang Children once again. And Sex Gang Children did one session for John in 1982. And this is for all the goths out there who remember this. There we go. Absolutely fantastic to hear that again on British radio. And Andy Sex Gang and the Sex Gang Children, the ultimate in gothic punk. And John was there with them. He knew them as well. He knew how important their sound was. Unfortunately, only managed to do a couple of albums. But I do understand that Andy and the band are getting very, very interested in possibly doing another tour again. And I know that would be one thing that John would be really, really happy with. As he's up there in the great big studio in the sky, he's probably up there right now with John Lennon and Jimi Hendrix and Joni Mitchell and Jim Morrison. He's probably up there in the studio mixing up a show now for them all. And, well, it's quite touching for me, actually, to actually be sat here and doing this. A lad from the country, I used to listen to John on my little ear set back in the 80s. This is before the internet. Well, not indeed, before the 80s, back in 1975. So I hope you're enjoying some of the music that John Peel used to play me as a young lad, and all of us, really, if you were born in the 60s. And you may be coming across some bands you might have heard of, or you probably might not have heard of for the first time at all. OK, well, that was the 80s. We've gone through the 80s now, and we're going to move on to John's peak period, which was the 70s. And let's have a little bit of a snippet from John himself.
That's George Michael and Aretha Franklin. You know she can make any old rubbish sound good. And I think she just has.
Yes, I remember there's X-Ray Specs, four sessions, 77 to 79, and Germ Free Adolescent. The singer there was actually a checkout girl in Woolworths. And I've just had a phone call from Gary Bushell, New Musical Express journalist of the punk era. He's just going to be calling back in a very, very short while, as he's been stuck. There's been a really bad car accident in London, and he's been stuck in traffic. And it was very good of him just to call in to let everybody know that he will be speaking with me, hopefully in a very, very short while, after Chaz. And I'm waiting for Chaz Hodges to call. He'll be calling and we'll be talking very, very shortly in a minute. But I'm going to keep the 70s punk music going that John used to introduce us all to. And this is, well, the Undertones. It's time for the Undertones. And, well, there's got to be one, and it's the only Teenage Kicks. We'll be right back. Okay, hi everybody. I'm going to fade Dave Bain in and the Damn there because on the phone we've got Chas Hodges. Hi Chas, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Thanks for calling in, Chas. How's it been going since we spoke last?
Yeah, it's been going good. I'm on the road with Chas and his band. And I still do all the Chas and Dave songs because they're a big part of me, but the band's going great, yeah.
Let's get on to how did you get to meet John? Because we did speak last time we spoke, you mentioned that kind of John helped to discover you. Is that right?
Well, that's right. Me and Dave, when we first got together, the first start of getting Chas and Dave known was we did a tour with 10cc, supporting 10cc, which I think was about 1976, as I remember.
Yeah, that would be Lowell Cream and Kevin Godley, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're dead right. And it was good exposure for us. And John Peel came down and reviewed one of them, and I think it was when we did Hammersmith Odeon. And he gave us, me and Dave, a really good write-up. In fact, he said he liked her album, but he said we were much better on stage. First one to give us a good write-up, I would say.
So he's pretty dear to your heart, have you? You know. Would you? I can't read my own writing. How much of him is thought by you, Chas, and some of the people you know within the music business? How highly regarded is John?
Well, very highly regarded amongst anybody who ever met him or ever had any dealings with him. He was his own man, as you know. There was no old cobblers with him. He liked something. If he liked it, he liked it. If he didn't like it, he didn't like it. Whether it was in vogue or out of vogue, Chas and Dave have gone through many sort of parts of their career when it wasn't trendy to like Chas and Dave. But he liked us from start to finish. he didn't like all of the stuff that we did, like you don't like all of the stuff that your favourite artist does. But he was very, very critical, and it was always a pleasure to hear any of his comments as to what we were up to.
Do you think without John that things would have turned out the way that they have, the John Peel effect on British music and British radio?
I think so. He was very, very pivotal in the way the pop music was going. He put it was going at one time, it was going a bit too sort of neither here or there. It wasn't considered important. When John Peel came along, he's the pop music. He found areas of pop music that to him was important, and to the listeners that heard what he was playing, made it important. It became very effective, and a lot of great artists came from that.
Chaz, when did you meet John? How long ago was it? Late 60s.
I would say I actually met him. We did. I was with a band called Heads, Hands, and Feet in the 70s, just at the beginning of 1970, and we did a Radio 1 live recordings, which are in existence today, for John Peel, and that's the first time I met him.
So, did you actually do a session for the show, the John Peel show?
Yeah. I always remember we did a version of the Ken John Peel as well. It was sort of like a rock and roll sort of country rock version of it, as a tribute to him.
Did you ever get turned on to any particular bands by hearing them that John after John played them or used to push them and promote them?
Yeah, very obscure bands, and I've got to be honest, I can't remember now. But I always used to, his program was the greatest program ever. Always listened to it avidly. And you didn't like everything that he played, but there was always something that sort of really knocked you sideways. And every time I listened to it, mind you, I've got to be honest, I cheated and I used to record it and play it back.
Yeah.
But his programme was always like that.
Now, Charles, the tour, you're still on tour. You've got a couple of dates in October. You're going to Seacroft Holiday Park and Great Yarmouth. How's the response for your tour going at the moment?
Yeah, it's going absolutely great. A lot of people, that's why I'm mentioning it, because it's called Chaz and His Band. A lot of people saying, oh, what sort of stuff do you do now? I said, well, it's just the same. It's Chaz and Dave stuff. I mean, that's a big part of me. Ain't No Pleasing You, Gertrude, Rabbit. All them songs are very much in evidence on my shows, and there's one or two little surprises along the way. In the theatres, I'm doing Botley Hill Farmhouse on the 23rd of October. In the theatres, I do the first half of a potted history of my life before I got together with Dave, when I was a session man up at Joe Meek's studio when I was playing the bass guitar. I played on Johnny Remember Me, which was a number one in 1961. Then I went on the road with Jerry Lee Lewis, playing bass for him. That's when I started to learn the piano. Then went on the road with Gene Vincent. Then joined a band called Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers. Toured with the Beatles, and they wrote a song for us. And all the way through this part, I punctuate it with one or two songs here and there. And I bring it right up to date, Heads, Hands and Feet. And then is when I came back from America, me and Dave got together. So people are finding it very interesting. They're saying, oh, I didn't realise you did all that stuff. So it's going down very, very well.
How's the little book going as well? Your rock and roll, Chaz's rock and roll allotment. How's the little book going?
Yeah, that's going excellent. The publisher's actually sold out. He's had to reprint some.
Get away. Really great. Good stuff.
I mean, that's something some people have said, oh, is that what you're doing instead of music now? I said, no, not. I've always done it. It's always gone alongside my music. It's a great thing. It runs straight along. If you're in the studio or writing some songs or playing the piano, I sort of have a little stretch of think, right, I shall creep over the allotment now. And it's amazing the ideas that I get when I'm over there. It just works so great together, hand in hand.
Now, super to hear from you. And, of course, Dave is coming back on tour. It's the Together Again tour, and you're kicking off on March the 2nd, 2011, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. We're doing a farewell tour in the spring.
Well, send my best regards from everybody from Bristol and BCFM to Dave there, and all our best regards to you as well, Chaz, with your coming tour and coming up. In a couple of sentences, how would you sort of sum up John Peel?
Well,
on the spot.
Just a great, great man, and pop music would be very, very different and the worse for it if he hadn't come around, most definitely.
Thanks ever so much for calling in and remembering John Peel today with us, Chaz.
Okay, mate.
Very best of luck with everything, and I hope to keep in touch with you. Cheers now. Cheers from everybody in Bristol, Chaz.
Yeah, thanks, and come and see Chaz and his band if you see me around, and you'll have a good time.
If you come our way, I will certainly come and see you, Chaz. Thanks ever so much, mate.
Lovely job.
Cheers now. Bye.
Ta-da.
And I met all of the crew. Where's Captain Kirk? Where's
Yeah, that's Stiff Little Fingers there. And that one's especially for Math. Thank you, Math, as well, this afternoon for your appraisal of John and his weird and wonderful taste in music that he used to play to us. And, yeah, that was Stiff Little Fingers, an alternative Ulster, especially for my old buddy there, Math. Me and Math, we're the bad boys of, if I might dare to say, we're the bad boys of BCFM. So, Math, thanks for phoning in and saying you're enjoying the show and enjoying the music. We've got a couple more tracks from the 70s now, as I do want to sort of finish up with some of the stuff from the 60s, some of the big bands that John Peel made us all familiar with. And one of the more unusual bands and anti-establishment bands that I remember from John Peel was Crass. And I'm definitely going to play one track now, and that is Darling. And it's from the 70s. We're moving into the 70s now. And thank you for listening to us on our John Peel Appreciation Day, remembering John Peel and all the great music he gave to us.
They sell us love as divinity when it's only a social obscenity. Underneath, they're all lovable. Ha! Hello, hero. Hello, hello. Hello, hero. Hello, hello. Hello, hero. Hero, hello. Hello, hero. Hero, hello. Hello, 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 hello,
yes, it takes me right back. That's the Crass, Penny Rimbaud and Hello Hero. And we've got another one from the Crass now, and this is You Got Big Hands.
Kind of just, I mean, a lot of people were described as being punk who kind of weren't, you know. There had been a build up to it, which you could kind of see it coming. You could see something coming because there'd been... oh, God, the dog's getting killed. There'd been pub rock before that, and people like Graham Parker and The Rumour, who clearly weren't punk, and more particularly Eddie and the Hot Rods, a band that don't really get the credit that they should get because, you know, they prepared the way, really, or prepared us for punk.
And indeed, that was Eddie and the Hot Rods there, and they did three sessions for John during 1977 and 1979. I'm joined in the studio now with by John Steele. Hello, John. How do you remember John Peel?
Hi, man. Well, you know, it's kind of a long story, but he was a kid when I met because I had this show out in Radio DRR in Houston, Texas, and. Basically, John was a coffee boy, but man, I can tell you that kid was so keen. He was so keen. He did every job. He was kind of like a runner, you know. He went and got all the singles from the record pluggers. He did every damn thing in that studio. He was so damn keen, man. You know, I had a little show with Dave the Weird Beard. We alternated on weekday nights, and one time Dave was struck ill, and John stood in. And, you know, that's sort of got a taste for it. And he was very good at putting on the jingles and everything.
Can we drop anchor there a minute?
Yeah, man, sure.
Guess who we've got on the phone? We've got Gary Bushell.
Gary Bushell is one of your columnists, is he not, for the English tabloids?
Hi there, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Gary. Now, Gary, you were punk. You were a punk era journalist, weren't you, for the New Musical Express?
I was on Sounds for about 8 years, back in the late 70s, early 80s,
And, of course, you were around at the, very much at the same time that John was really active within the punk community, wasn't he?
That's right, and not only that, he used to come in the White Lion at least once a week with John Waters, so we always had a good chat, and he was a fascinating company, yeah.
Just looking back, how important do you think John's effect upon British music and British radio was? He was an envelope pusher, wasn't he? He changed radio and music pretty much.
He absolutely was, because he wasn't motivated like so many of them are by their own ego, but he had a genuine love for the music. He was a real enthusiast for new and different sounds, and he really would give people opportunities that no one else would give them, and that's what really made a difference. And it wasn't just in Britain, because all around the world, because of the World Service, that, I mean, I remember being in India with Hanoi Rocks and a kid coming up to me saying, tell John Peel he should play more punk. And you know, it was fantastic to think he had that much influence when he was such a good guy.
Gary, tell us some of the bands that you and him were particularly fond of at the time. Give us some great names from the time, because you were there. You were there with John around that time when it was happening. Who was it you and John used to love?
Well, he liked The Fall, obviously. But the two of us loved The Undertones. The band I was always amazed that he gave a session to, and it always tickles me that he didn't give a session to The Police or U2, but he gave a session to The Postman. Do you remember a band called The Postman?
No, I can't say I do.
Oh, they're mad. There was like a schoolboy crazy project that was a side project from the Cockney Rejects, and it was like they do mad things like play buckets and spoons and walk on gravel to get a marching effect in the studio, and he gave them a session. It was hilarious.
I think he was probably the he was the first alternative DJ, wasn't he, really?
He certainly was, and a genuinely decent human being, a really nice guy.
So you used to catch up with him and go for a beer. Is that anywhere near around the BBC studios, Maida Vale, was it?
No, he came down to the White Lion pub in Covent Garden, normally with Johnny Walters, who was a former jazz trumpeter himself. But Walters and the two of them were so full of indiscretions and anecdotes, it was hilarious to be in their company. John Walters, I remember, said that being with Peel was like taking a dog for a walk. You're working with him, you just have to make sure he doesn't cock his leg at any musical lamppost for too long.
I suppose, I guess John didn't get on with everybody over there at the BBC. You know, was there anybody who sort of did a bit of muck-slinging towards John? I mean, I know some of the daytime DJs, like at the time, who was it? Tony Blackburn and Kid Jensen, they were quite friendly with John, but... I know.
I think what it was, there was a lot of jealousy, because he was so... Because a lot of those DJs, not the ones you mentioned, but there were a few of those DJs who were seen as fair game by the music press, and the rock papers didn't like them because they were just vacuous and vapid. And John had real credibility, which he earned, and I think there was a jealousy towards him because of that.
Gary, how would you sort of remember, how would you remember John for when you met him and his influence upon everything?
I'll always remember him as just being one of the best people you could ever sit down and have a conversation with, because he was often right. He was so right about so many bands. I mean, not many people would have taken on some of the bands that he championed. I suppose the Undertones were quite an easy one, but the Smiths were a public enemy. He championed them right at the start. He didn't have... There was no boundaries to his mind. He didn't say, well, I can't listen to that because it's this. He would just say, is it good? Is it got promise? Has it got potential? Is it making me think about something different? Is it opening doors for me? And that's the great thing that he left us. He bequeathed this open-mindedness about music and what constitutes music.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. I think the little bands trusted him, didn't they? They trusted him to present them in a cool way.
They did, and it was the ultimate accolade to be asked to go and do a John Peel session.
Gary, thanks. What was the trouble today? There's been a bit of a crash in London.
Oh, no, I was out in Kent, and what should have been an half-hour journey turned into a three-hour one because of a bit of a disaster on the roads, but it's all right now. No one's seriously hurt.
Well, smashing that you managed to make the effort to give us a call and let us know and take part in our John Peel Day.
Smashing, not quite the right word, but thanks for that, Mark.
Just a quick word before you go. How's the little book going, Bushel on the Rampage?
Oh, it seems to be exciting. I've been banned from doing a book signing in Southend because they're worried that too many unsavoury characters, too many ex-skinheads and mods are going to turn up.
Oh, well, it's all good publicity.
Good, bad.
All publicity's productive in one way or another. Anyway, Gary, we're going to say wind it up now. Thanks ever so much for calling in today quickly. Just to remember John Peel on this October is, as I said earlier, some of the last times he broadcasted from the UK. So thanks very much and goodbye for now, Gary. I hope to keep in touch and all the best from all the people who know you down here in Bristol.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
Oh, well, John, that was a bit of a nice interlude there. We're going to play some music from the 60s now. And, of course, like I say, John didn't just play modern music and punk music and experimental music. He was there right at the very beginning of the 60s as well with psychedelia. And one of the bands that John did have full sessions for was Free. And we're going to play one track now, and that's All Right Now, and four sessions for Free for John were between 1968 and 1970. Okay, everybody, thanks very much indeed for staying with us during the 2 hours for our John Peel session in reverse order from 2004 to 1968. And that was, of course, Paul Kossoff and Free and All Right Now. John Steele's going to be with you in a minute.
Hi, man. Just to mention that everyone knows what a great voice Paul Rodgers has and the great guitar solo from Paul Kossoff, but excellent bass drum work there, man. I can't remember the name of the drummer in Free, man. Can you get someone to ring in if you, unless you know it?
Well, we got Wikipedia. We could
Google it, couldn't we? Yeah.
We could Google it nowadays.
Fantastic bass drum work.
But,
there,
of course, people like John Peel, he would know that straight off.
Sure, man. Well, you know, my memory's not what it was, man. I had little difficulties in the 80s, you know.
Well, I guess what was that? One party too many.
Oh, man, I can't remember, you know, but I guess, you know, I can remember most of it.
I tell you what, can you remember Jethro Tull?
Oh, sure can, man. Ian Anderson, I believe he's still touring.
Everybody, it's time to get along, and thanks very much for staying with me through the 2 hours remembering John Peel and his contribution to the British music scene and British radio, and how he changed things and made it the way it is today that we can enjoy it for that you can enjoy. Okay, this is Jethro Tull, and it was Living in the Past, and I'm going to finish off with one of the most influential bands that John Peel ever played, and it's got to be, of course, Pink Floyd. And this is Pink Floyd with Syd Barrett, and it's Remember a Day from Saucer Full of Secrets album. So stick around here at BCFM. The music's carrying on, and remembering John Peel right up until 1 a.m. and we've got a live band playing, I believe, later on. Okay, folks, I'm on my way.
90.2 FM. It is your voice and it is your choice.
BCFM is the community radio station for Bristol and is here to give everybody in Bristol.